Amen. Well, let's pray for the word tonight. Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to stand in your presence and in your house tonight, Lord. We're so thankful for the worship. We are thankful for your presence, that you draw near to us every time our hearts are surrendered and every time we ask of you. And tonight, Lord, as we look to your word, we honor your word, God. And Lord, I thank you that you said that your word does not return void. And so tonight, Holy Spirit, we are just asking that you would open our ears to receive, to hear what it is that you would want to say, God. We bless you and we minister unto you tonight as we look to your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, our title tonight is Stand Firm, Steadfast, Immovable. If you have your Bibles, let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The New King James Version says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God's word speaks to our position of standing firm in him. The importance of standing strong on the word of God. We are called to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding to the work of the Lord, always seeking after his kingdom. And he says, when we work hard, when we put our hearts and our lives to the work of his kingdom, that none of this work, none of our labor is ever in vain. He honors the work in our service when it is focused on building his house and towards his kingdom. We are challenged in scripture in what exactly we are standing upon, what our values and our principles will be. There is mention in scripture of moments when Jesus stood up to teach. There are moments when he sat on the hillside. There are moments when he sat in the boat and taught his disciples about the kingdom of God. But there are moments when Jesus took a different position and he stood up to declare the word of God. In John 7, 37 to 39, it says, On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit. It says that Jesus stood up and he declared these words. The words that he felt that were important to proclaim to the people from a standing position were these words. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. I will fill them with the power of my Holy Spirit, and rivers of my presence will flow out of them to affect a generation, to affect a people around them. These are words. When he stood up, he said, pay attention. He said, listen to these words as I declare them in a loud voice. In the spiritual, there are times when we are called to stand up. There are times when we are called to arise, to awaken our spirits, to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. There are times when we are called to stand firm, to stand strong, to stand immovable on the word of God and the authority that has been given to us. The imagery of standing firm spiritually can be related to the word standard as well. In order for us to stand firm, in order for us to stand steadfast and immovable, it requires us to raise the standard of our godly living, to raise the standard of our faith, of our belief in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul speaks to us very clearly many times about us raising the standard of our godly living, following God's example and not standing for the darkness and the evil deeds that are among us. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 2 and 8 to 20. Follow God's example as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord urges us here to follow the example of God, to be awake to the spiritual matters that are before us. We must not fall asleep or become sluggish spiritually, but rather we must be wise. And Paul gives us the reason. He gives us the reason why he urges us to be wise in this, to become awake, to stand strong, to be children of the light. He says, because the days are evil. The times that we are living in are filled with the deeds of darkness. So he says, be wise. Understand what the Lord's will is for your life. Understand that the Lord's will is for us to walk as children of the light, to not stand for the deeds of darkness, to not stand for the evil that so easily surrounds us, but to stand on the word of God, to stand for the holiness of God, for his light. Be filled with the Spirit, he says, and it is then that Christ will shine upon us. How many want Jesus Christ to shine his glory upon your life? There is a phrase that we use in the natural to describe our position in matters that we don't agree with. We often will say, I won't stand for it. If we feel strongly about something that we disagree with wholeheartedly, we find ourselves saying the words, I will not stand for that. And that is what Paul is urging us in this passage of Scripture. He's saying, do not stand. Do not stand for the evil, for the deeds of darkness, for those things that people do in secret that are unmentionable. He says, but instead stand for the holiness of God. Stand for the righteousness of God. Stand, be steadfast, be immovable on the word of God, and the light of Christ will shine upon us. May we be those believers who will not stand for those things, but who will stand for the word of God. There are times, church, when we are called to stand and believe in the Lord Jesus. There are times when we are called to stand in the house of God and prophetically declare the word of the Lord over situations. There are times when we are called to stand in the house of God, to believe in who Jesus Christ is within us, to be confident in who he has called us to be. There are times when we are called to take our stand in this, to be confident in the word of God, to be confident in the Holy Spirit that is alive within us. God is living and active in our lives. The devil's schemes are to have you be a child of darkness instead of light, to be unwise instead of wise. He is tempting us to follow the deeds of darkness instead of the deeds of light. There is a fight for our holy living. There is a fight, church, for our holy desires, for our desires to want to know the will of the Lord, to understand his word and his plan for our lives. There is a fight for our prophetic prayers, for our prophetic praise and worship. There is a fight for us to be weak in these areas, for us to be weak in the armor of God that is upon our lives. And the Lord says, when we are awakened to this fight, when we understand the spiritual battle that rages against us for the holy desires, for holy living, he says, church, will you arise in this? Will you be awakened to this fight and to this war? And will you put on his Spirit that Christ may shine upon us and make us victorious? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Do you believe that tonight for your life? For wherever you find yourself and whatever is happening in your life, do you believe that the word of God stands forever for wherever you find yourself? This word stand here, it means to be proven, fulfilled, established, persist, confirmed, to accomplish and perform. Therefore, when we stand on the word of God, the translation indicates that we become spiritually powerful as we stand upon the word that is established, the word that is proven, the word that is confirmed, the word that is true. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 to 22, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you to stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. We need to be encouraged and reminded of God's eternal promises to us according to his word. We need to be reminded what the promises are, and we need to understand and believe the word that says, no matter how many promises God has given through his word, every single one of them are yes. Every single one of them are amen to those who would believe, to those who would choose the holy living, to those who would raise up the standard in their lives and live according to God's ways. When we believe on his promises, the verses say, it is God who causes us to stand firm. He works with us. He holds us up. He is the one that makes us steadfast. God has promised us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, that if we train a child in the way they should go, that they will not depart from this. How many would say that you're believing for that promise? I am believing for that promise for every child that attends this church, for every youth that attends this church. We speak that and we prophesy that into their lives, that as they are trained and as they come into the house of the Lord, that they will not depart from the ways of God for their lives. We must stand firm on these words. God promised us in Joel 2:28 that he would pour out the power and the abundance of his Holy Spirit upon all of his sons and daughters, that not one person would be without the power of his Holy Spirit. He promised that he would pour out his Spirit and that they would prophesy. Church, I am believing for that word, that the sons and daughters of this house, that there would be a prophetic spirit about them, that they would push back the powers of darkness, that they would not stand for evil, but they would stand for the word of God, for the Holy Spirit in their lives, that spiritual hunger would be released in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 60, verse 18, the promise is that we would call the walls of our homes, the walls of his house salvation, and the gates praise. These are not empty words. These are not empty promises, but God says, would you stand on these words? Would you believe these words? God, according to your truth, according to your promise, you said that they are yes and amen. And so we believe for your salvation. We believe for your praise to be at the gates of our homes and at the gates of your house. So many promises that we are called to stand upon, firm, steadfast, and unmoving. Standing firm is not a passive stance. It requires an action on our part. It requires us to raise the standard in our lives. And when we get weary, and when our hands hang down, when our knees start to buckle and we want to sit down in defeat, when the enemy's voice seems stronger than the voice of the Lord, when the stories of sickness and the stories of disobedience and apathy, they keep coming and they keep coming, we need to remember this word, that our call is to stand firm, steadfast, and immovable. Three areas tonight that we are encouraged to stand strong in. Number one, stand on holy ground. Remove all defilement. Ephesians chapter 6 is a familiar passage to all of us as it teaches us about the armor of God. But what is interesting about these verses is the number of times it uses the word stand. In verses 10 to 18, four times we are commanded to stand strong in the Lord, to stand in God's mighty power, to stand against the devil's schemes, to stand with his armor fully fitted and secure upon us. The truth is that we defeat the enemy's tactics when we stand on holy grounds and we remove defilement. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world. The devil's schemes are to have you walk in the fruitless deeds of darkness. There is a fight for our holy living, for our holy desires, and it is unpopular in this day and age. God calls us to stand up against the devil's schemes by being strong in the power of God, living in his holy light. We must walk softly before the Lord, with a holy fear and reverence guiding us. There is a strength and a victory that comes when we stand on holy ground, walking reverently and honoring the Lord. Deuteronomy 8, 6 to 7. So obey the commands of the Lord by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. Joshua chapter 7 has some really good verses that speak about the defilement of the Israelites and how it caused them to not be able to stand against their enemies. In verses 11 to 13, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. These verses speak to things in our lives that will cause us to lose our balance, that will cause us to lose our strong stance in the Lord. Are there things in our lives? Are there things amongst our own possessions even that are unholy, that are displeasing to the Lord? The Israelites had divided hearts. There were things in their lives that were not pleasing to God. In verses 12 to 13, that is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and they run because they have been made liable to destruction. And God says, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Tell the people to consecrate themselves. For this is what the Lord says. Until you remove these things, you cannot stand against your enemies. Are there areas that need to be removed from our hearts, from our attitudes, from our thoughts, from within our homes? Are there things that need to be removed in order that we might be able to stand against our enemies? We will not stand firm. We will not be steadfast until all defilement is removed. The Lord will protect us. He will help us. He will fight with us. He will fight for us and stand with us when we stand on holy ground, when we choose holiness and his living. Let go of the things that make us weak, and we will be able to stand steadfast and immovable. This might require some work. It may require some work on our part to get rid of the things, to get rid of the things that are not honoring and pleasing to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 29, verses 11 to 12. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, to minister before him and to burn incense. Then these Levites set to work. The Lord has chosen us to stand before him. What a high calling and a high honor to be able to stand before our God and minister before him. And he calls us to not be negligent in this calling, but to work at purifying our lives, to work at purifying our homes, wherever the need might be. Psalm 24, 3 to 4, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Proverbs 12, verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. May we be diligent in the work of the Lord. May we be diligent in our purity, knowing that our labor is not in vain. Number two tonight, stand protected and armed. After verse 12 in Ephesians 6, it goes on to say in verses 13 to 17, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We struggle against the powers of darkness at times, don't we? We struggle with many enemies who are trying to keep us from God and from heaven, from the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. We have enemies to fight against. We have a captain to fight for, and we have a banner to fight under, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, with specific weapons, with specific armor that we are to fit securely upon our lives. Three more times in these verses, we are told that in order for the armor to work, in order to be strong and steadfast, it requires the position of standing. Verse 13, "Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." How many know that spiritual strength and courage is necessary in order to stand strong in the Lord? Paul urges us, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in your heart. Be strong in your mind. Be strong in your spiritual disciplines. Be strong. This is not for the faint-hearted, but be strong in your heart. Stand before the Lord. Let no part be exposed to the enemy. Let not your heart be exposed to the enemy. Let not your mind be exposed to the enemy. Every part of our bodies, every part of our spirits needs to be fitted securely with the armor and the weapons of God upon us. We must be completely armed so that we can stand our ground, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. In 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, it says that Satan stood against the Israelites. Satan stood against the Israelites, and it is true in our lives that Satan is standing against us. He is standing against us. Do not let him keep you from ascending the holy mountain, from standing before the Lord your God. We must stand up against this enemy that is able to be defeated in our lives. Satan's kingdom is darkness, and to stand against Satan, to stand against the kingdom of darkness means that we must take a stand against the sin. We must take a stand against the darkness that is all around us, and we must choose to stand for holiness and for righteousness instead. Verse 14, after you have done everything, to stand. We must stand our ground, yielding to the grace of God, not yielding to Satan. Resist him and he will flee. If we ever begin to mistrust our armor, if we ever begin to mistrust our leader, our captain of our army, it will cause Satan to have an advantage in our lives. Verse 14, stand firm then with all of your armor securely fitted. Arise, church, stand guard, be watchful and ready to protect, ready to defend, and ready to advance. May we stand fully protected by the power of God. And number three, the final thing tonight is stand with prophetic prayers and worship. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. It is significant to us, church, that these verses, they end with a call to prayer. After the call to stand strong in God's power, to stand strong with the armor fitted securely upon our lives, to stand against the devil, the call comes upon us to pray with all kinds of prayers, all kinds of requests, without ceasing, at all times, that a spirit of prayer would always be upon us, that we would always be alert and keep on praying. Our prayers must not be silent. Our prayers must be strong. They must be steadfast. Our prayers must be immovable. Our prayers must be prophetic as they declare the word of the Lord over the situations around us. And you know, I believe that there are many people in the church who are weak in prayer because they do not know how to pray. And I understand that perhaps this learning discipline of how to pray, it's not easy and it requires work. But the Spirit of the Lord is interceding for us. And as we begin to eagerly desire to develop our prayer life, God helps us. And there is an utterance, there is an unction that will come upon our prayers. There is a pattern of Jesus and how he prayed that we can follow in our lives as well. The enemy will try and silence you. The enemy will try and keep you quiet in your prayers. He will keep you weak in your worship, but we must not stand for this. We must not stand for a silent church. We must arise with a united voice, and we must stand with God in our prayers. We must stand with his power, with his spirit as we pray. As we worship, we stand with him. Just before Jesus is arrested, he spends significant moments in intercessory prayer in John chapter 17. And these prayers are powerful in guiding us in our own prophetic prayers in how and who we should be praying for. He begins by praying that his ministry, that the work of the Lord would be glorified. And that is where we begin in our lives. Wherever we are, no matter where we find ourselves, we always begin at this place: God be glorified. God, let your kingdom advance. Let your church be built. He then goes on to pray for his disciples, for those who know him. In verse 11, he prays, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name." He prays that they would have the full measure of his joy within them, that they would be protected by the evil one as they live in the world. He prays that they would be sanctified by the truth of the word of God as they live in the world. He then goes on to pray for those who do not know him yet. Verse 20, it says, "I pray for those who will believe in me." This is a prophetic prayer of Jesus. He is calling to those who are not yet saved, who do not yet have a knowledge of him, but he speaks to those souls and to those people, and he says, "I pray for those who will believe in me." Jesus is calling forth that holy desire to know him. He is calling forth the salvation of the Lord upon these people. And this is our example left for us, that we would pray for Jesus to be glorified, that we would pray for the full measure of the joy of Christ to be upon the believers, that they would be sanctified by the word of truth, that they would walk in his power in the world. And then we are called to pray for those who do not yet know him, but who will know him according to his word, according to the words of Jesus, that they would know him and walk with him. And as we close tonight, there is one other example that I want to mention about the prayers of Jesus that is found in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear." May we be encouraged tonight to stand with God and to use his word in the manner of our prophetic prayers and our worship. There is a call upon our prayers to be fervent, just like the prayers of Jesus were fervent. There is a call upon our prayers to be passionate, that they would be lifted up to God with a godly fear and a godly reverence. Jesus prayed with loud cries and tears, and he was heard because of his godly fear, it says. Let the inhibitions fall away on your voice tonight in the name of Jesus. Go into your prayer closet by yourself in your car. At home, begin to practice it. And when you come here on Tuesdays and you come here on Sundays, you lift up your voice, and it doesn't matter who hears you. We call these inhibitions to fall off, that our prayers would be heard with passion, with a firmness, with a steadfastness, with a godly fear unto the Lord. There are moments we are called to stand before God. There are moments we are called to stand with God in our fervent prayers and our worship. This fervency will cause us to be steadfast and immovable in our work for the Lord. Colossians 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. May we labor for the church in fervent prayers, that God's people would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This is our cry tonight. This is our prayer tonight according to the word of the Lord, that his church would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I am believing that as we stand with the Lord, that as we labor for him, that none of our labor is in vain. Amen? I am believing in his promises, and I am believing in this word of 1 Samuel 12, verse 16. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Do not let your hands hang down, church. Do not let your stance be weak. There are moments where we will be called to kneel in prayer, absolutely. There are different positions in the Lord that are significant and that he will call us to. There is a time where we kneel before the Lord in a reverent submission, in a holy surrender to him. But there is also a time where he calls us to stand. He calls us to stand strong, firm, steadfast, immovable upon his word, to stand with him in prayer. Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. The Holy Spirit is interceding. Come on, we have them on our side. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us with groans that words cannot express. Let's stand together tonight. As we stand, it is a sign of agreement with him and his will. When we stand and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand and we bless his faithfulness. We stand upon the word of God. Standing is powerful for us. We stand and we minister to the Lord. We stand and we bless the Lord. We will stand and applaud him for his victory, for his mercy, and for his kindness. We stand with the high praises of God upon our hearts and upon our mouths. Psalm 134, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May we raise the standard of holiness tonight. May we raise the standard of our armor and our protection. And may we raise the standard of our prophetic prayers and worship as we follow the example of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58 in the Amplified. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion, in the Lord is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. Amen. Amen. We bless the Lord tonight. We're going to worship the Lord. We stand before him and bless his name. We bless the victory that he has given to us. We honor him tonight. If you are here tonight and you do not know the Lord, perhaps you've walked away from him, but you want to come back to him. If you're here tonight and you have any prayer requests for anything, the altars are always open as we worship the Lord. Just come and we would love to pray with you. But let's stand strong tonight. Let's bless our Lord tonight in our worship. Give him everything, for he alone is worthy. Amen.